We are back. It's Coast to Coast AM. Connie Willis here, and we are really in depth into some good stories here with Jerry Wills. He's a speaker, he's a healer, he's an adventurer, he's an explorer, and he's from somewhere else. And right the last break that we were on, Jerry was talking about having a near-death experience, and falling from a hangar, airplane hangar, down to the ground. He's starting to see himself as he's floating up. He's seeing his body laying there, and there's a voice talking to him. And Jerry, I hope I set you back right kind of where you were so you can finish that story.
Oh, you did remarkably well. Thank you, Connie.
Thank you.
Yeah, I was just, I felt really good, you know, considering.
But you heard a voice and the voice started talking to you.
It did. And so I said, well, as you can see, I am dead. And I pointed down to myself. And it said, Jerry, you're not supposed to be here yet. And I said, well, sorry, not much I can do about it now.
You were really sarcastic like that?
Yeah.
I love it. That's funny.
And it said, no, you've got to go back. I said, no, I don't think I want to. I feel pretty good. And a little more stern voice, no, you've got to go back right now. And at the utterance of the word now, it was though I was blown out of a cannon. It's indescribable. And I was right back into my body again, and it hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And I could hardly breathe. And, you know, they put me in the ambulance, took me to the hospital. And I was in the hospital for, you know, not very long, really, because I guess I really don't know, because it was so traumatic. But it seems like it was just overnight. And then I was let go, because the big hole in my hand had healed up. The broken bones are no longer broken. Everything was fine. I was a little sore, but, you know, I wasn't in a bad way. And I just...
You mean it was all healed up, like, within days?
No, within maybe 24 hours.
Oh, my. I mean, did anybody think anything about that?
Well, when I took off the neck collar thing, they kind of got, you know, really upset, and I pulled the IVs out, and I told them, you know, I need to get out of here. I want to go have a cigarette. I want to get a cup of coffee, and I don't want to lay here anymore. And so they insisted I get more x-rays. That's how they discovered I didn't have anything else broken, and stuff that was broken wasn't broken anymore, and so forth. They gave me a bag full of pills, and as I walked out, they'd cut my pants off. So I had a friend of mine bring me some clothes, and he picked me up. And as I'm walking out of the hospital, I just threw the pills in the garbage and continued on my way. You know, there was no lasting effects from that. But I've always healed remarkably fast.
Well, I just can't imagine what those doctors would be thinking at that point with all the bones, you know, fused back, I guess. They had to be.
Well, they weren't very happy with me leaving, but I wasn't very happy with them insisting that I stay. And I didn't really see them as being an authority figure that I had to listen to. So, you know, I was popping my neck and my back, and, you know, they were just freaking out, so they had to have x-rays. But after that, you know, this was before I met Kathy, of course, and, you know, probably 20 years before I met her. This happened in, like, 1980. And I didn't meet Kathy until 98. So, or 97, 98, right in there. So, it was one of those deals that I never forgot, and it really changed the course of my life, because I had been to psychics before who said, oh, you're here to do something really special. You know, people get that all the time. But then I'd start pressing them for answers, and they wouldn't really give me any answers. And then I have this fall, and then this voice says, you can't be here yet. You haven't even started what you're supposed to be doing. And all of these psychics were telling me the same thing. You're not going to be doing what you're supposed to be doing until after 40 years old. Well, you know, when you're 20, that doesn't make much sense. When you're 30, that's still 10 years away. So anyway, I finally figured out what it was. And that happened while I was in Peru. And it then completely changed the course of my life forever. There were a series of events that happened down there. It didn't have anything to do with the Pleiadians, although at the time I thought that's what I was seeing. But it was some kind of spiritual beings, and they basically told me that I was at a junction, a crossroads, really, and I could choose to do what I had been doing, or I could do what I was supposed to do, what I had come here to do. And you know, it still wasn't clear what that meant, but I knew that I needed to do something. I needed to be myself, finally, because I had continued being this person that everyone expected me to be. Successful in business, you know, don't talk about UFOs, that's crazy stuff. Don't talk about this healing thing that you think you can do. Who do you think you are, God? You know, don't go there. You know, you need to be in business and do this business stuff. And it just kept welling up in me more and more. And I was clandestinely working with people. And clandestinely means they didn't know I was doing it. But when someone comes up and they're hurting, and I would give them a hug, or I'd run my hand over their back or their hand or their arm, and then the pain would go away. And that was my clandestine way of helping. Well, it got to the point where I felt like I need to be doing something different than what I'm doing. And this event that occurred in Peru, it was a real Twilight Zone kind of episode, very lengthy to talk about. But essentially, they said, you need to start being yourself. And at that point, everything changed. They said, well, if you accept this, then everything in your life is going to change. So I said, that's fine. It needs to change because I'm not happy the way things are. Well, that event passed. And while I was still in Peru, in the same location, in Agua Caliente, there was an old man named Pedro who insisted that he read the coca leaves for me. And, you know, we have these folks show up for the passengers because it's really fun and entertaining. And who knows, maybe there's a bit of truth in this. And I don't do it because I've had it done a couple times and it didn't mean much to me. But this fellow insisted. So I acquiesced. He read the coca leaves, and long story short, he said, you won't be married in 6 months. And you won't be in the electronics business at the end of a year. Well, this guy doesn't know me from anybody, and he's talking about some pretty specific things. And he went on to say that there was someone waiting for me. Now that I had made my decision, it would be possible for me to meet her. And, well, so who is this person? I mean, I'm married at the time, right? So, like, wow, there's some strange things going on here. He told me, very pointedly, that she is the woman with the hair like gold, and that I'll meet her in Kansas City, but that she lives in Lincoln, Nebraska. I'm paraphrasing a lot of this because it was much more, you know, there's a lot more to it than what I'm saying, but to conserve some time. And I didn't know what to think of this. So I left. Went and had a beer, and when I got back to Phoenix, I announced to my wife at the time, there's going to be a separation. I can't do this anymore. I need some space. I need to figure out, you know, what I'm going to do here. And I had the mail thrown at me, and the one piece of mail that stuck was a letter, and it was a letter that had a plane ticket. I was going to Kansas City to do a lecture. When I went to Kansas City, and this was a big surprise to me, I went to Kansas City and I did the lecture, and the whole time I'm thinking, huh, wonder who this girl with the golden hair is. But I was so wrapped up in all the people and all the conversations, you know, that kind of faded into the background. And this gal walks up to my, to where I was at, and sticks out her hand and says, "Hi, I'm Kathy." And I shook hands with her. And it was as though lightning had flown between us. There was this energy that just was both exhilarating and threatening in a way, because I'd never experienced such a feeling in my life. I didn't know at the time she had felt it as well. And this lasted for, I mean, there was nothing. It was just a complete vacuum. It was just her and I. There were no people. There was no convention center. There was nothing but just her and I, and it was dark everywhere except we were standing in a spotlight, that kind of experience. And then we let our hands go, and it just evaporated. She was pretty shook up looking, and she turned around and said, "Well, it's nice meeting you," and she just quickly walked off. While she's walking off, there's this same voice that I had heard when I had fallen, and the voice says, "She's the one." It's like, oh my God, I don't even know who this woman is. Well, you know, as you probably know by now, we are married, and it was a very magical time, you know, getting from that point of the first meeting to the point to where we eventually were married. But Kathy was the only person in my life who ever told me, "You need to stop doing this electronics business," and because I tried to start it up again, it did fail. And she said, "You need to stop working on machines and use what you have to work on people, because that's what you're supposed to be doing, is helping people." And I was terrified to do it, but I trusted her. And so that's what I started doing. And now 20 years later, I've traveled all over the world. I've worked with thousands and thousands of people, many of them, you know, some of the most unbelievable stories that you could imagine. People with cancer that just suddenly had nothing wrong with them. You know, people that couldn't see that suddenly could see. And I know this sounds like a bit far-fetched. I mean, there's a lot of small stories in there too. But one of the things that happened right about the time after we got married was that there was a man in Chandler, Arizona, who had, I don't know what happened to him, something terrible happened, and he was on life support. He was considered brain dead. And as a last possible chance of hope of anything happening, I was called in by a mutual family friend to go work with him, and so I did. Well, I worked with him for about 15, 20 minutes, and, you know, they were going to unplug him the next day. His insurance had run out. And so his wife had made a decision. They were going to unplug him the next morning, already made funeral arrangements. Everything was planned. And here is this woman with, you know, her two boys, and they're going to lose the boy's father, her husband. And I felt so awful for them. My heart really went out to them, and that's the reason why I went. I mean, who knows what can happen? I can't really second guess what's going to happen. I know that if you don't do anything, I know what's going to happen if you do nothing. You have to do something. So I went, worked on him for, I don't know, 15, 20 minutes, found him all curled up inside somewhere in some space. And I woke him up, and I told him it's time to come forward. It's time to come back. And I pulled my hands away from him and stepped back, and the man opened his eyes. He woke up, and the place came unglued. After this happened, Fox TV got a hold of it and they did a special. And after that, for the next 11 years, they did two specials about me every year. Those are on my website, jerrywills.com, and it's in the video testimonials section. The video isn't that great a quality, but at least you can watch it and see it. And, over the course of time, this fellow who is the news director for Fox, his name is Rod Haberer. He's a news guy. He's wondering what kind of shenanigans are going on, And so he decided to just sort of tag along. We became good friends after a while because the things he saw were miraculous and remarkable. And he decided to write a book. And after about 5 or 6 years, he had a book written. It's called Healer, The Jerry Wills Story. It's on Amazon. It's not my book, it's his. I tried to read it. It's way too boring. I can't do that, but other people tell me it's quite good. Well, I guess the bottom line to this story is that, regardless of where I'm from or the adventures that I've had and the people that I've met, I feel like inside what I'm supposed to be doing is helping people somehow. And a lot of people want to know, how do you do this? I mean, how is it that you can do these things? And I honestly don't even know how this works. I just don't have a clue. I don't know how it works. I have some ideas, quantum entanglement, one side of the equation, the presence of God on the other, and maybe these two are actually the same thing. Who knows? But I don't have an explanation. But, it just seems to me that a lot of people want to try to do the same thing that I do, or develop their own innate talents as well. So eventually, I put together a series of videos to try and help folks understand, my own philosophy and to give them some direction on how to move in this arena with some bit of success. Who knows? I mean, a lot of people have done these classes, and they've worked out pretty well for them.
And we'll find out more about that in just a second here. Connie Willis, and you're listening to Coast AM. It's the most listened to overnight radio program in North America. It's Coast to Coast AM. I'm Connie Willis. If you'd like to know more about me, I'd love for you to join my YouTube channel. It's called Blue Rock Talk with Connie Willis, Earth's Most Interesting Conversations, People, Places, and Things. Please go there to subscribe. It's free. And enjoy the videos that I have on there now and more to come. People like Travis Walton and James Gilliland and just Bigfooters and UFOs guys and remote viewers, all sorts of really cool things. I think you'll have fun. Bigfoot Fridays, Far Out Thursdays. I might be doing something called Wasted Wednesdays, Crypto Connie Tuesdays. It's a lot of fun, and I hope that you will go there. Blue Rock Talk with Connie Willis, Earth's Most Interesting Conversations. More to come. It's our last segment with our featured guest tonight, Jerry Wills. And if you'd like to know more about Jerry, go to our website and you're going to see some really neat pictures that he has up there on his different explorations and adventures. And you'll see what he looks like as well. For those of you that are interested in what might this person from somewhere else look like. And his beautiful wife is on there too, Kathy. And I think you'll enjoy those pictures. Very interesting stuff. So, Jerry Wills, our last segment coming up here on Coast to Coast AM. It's Coast to Coast AM with Connie Willis and our featured guests coming to a close here. Good information coming from Jerry Wills. Jerry, so you got to the point of talking about healing and offering classes to teach other people to do that. So tell us a little bit more about this at the end of the show here. About it's basically energy, correct? And you're able to manipulate the energy. And is this something, if you can tell us how to, in your best, however you can tell us about manipulating the energy, and tell us, do you think that anybody can do this? Is it inside all of us?
I think it is. I think it's inside every one of us. We all have a soul and we're made of energy. The difference between what I do and others who try to do something to help is basically a level of competence. And I've developed my sense of confidence really quite early on, although I wasn't confident to be public with it. But after the past, 20 years since Kathy and I got together and she promoted me to do this, I've developed a great deal of skill and confidence. So I put together these three classes. I call them the Gateway Experience. They're on my website. They're cheap, less than $20, as I recall. There are three classes, and each one is meant to be an experiential class. So you don't have to imagine something happening. You actually are doing something that you can tangibly get a result from, and you can feel or see or focus energy and move something. The classes need to be taken one at a time so that you can develop your skills and get confident with that before you go to the next class. But it works, and it isn't just for healing. It's for anyone who has any psychic ability they want to fine-tune and to further develop.
Well, I took the first one. I went in there, and it was a very interesting class. There's no question about it. It's mesmerizing to watch you and listen to what you're saying. And I got that little energy ball thing in my hand there I'm working on, so I'm going to be practicing that a little bit more. So what is actually happening with the energy when you, let's say, you go over a broken bone and that energy is moving around? I mean, are you feeling it yourself, or are you able to go, what's going on in your mind? Are you going heal, or what's going on there?
Well, energy doesn't really have a point of awareness where it knows what to do. Energy just flows through us, more in more in mass through us, I would say. But it's everywhere, and it just flows about willy-nilly. What directs energy is intention, and what causes intention to become very fine-tuned is by practicing and getting familiar with how it feels, so that as you're focusing the energy, you know what that means to focus the energy, and you direct it, because energy needs to be told what to do. It's really more complicated than time allows right now, but it's not a complicated thing to learn. It's just a complicated thing to explain.
Well, when you go over, go ahead.
Well, yeah, like I said, when you go over a bone, what I do, is, of course, I put my fingers on an area and I see inside of it. And then when I see what the problem is, then I focus the energy into that particular region, and I try to remanifest or to manifest, to change the composition and bring it to a point where it's just pure energy, and then I collapse it back down to the physical. And when that happens, then, Kathy broke a bone, a little girl in the jungle broke her arm, things like that. It just comes back as though nothing had happened. And that's really, when I fell out of the airplane hangar, that's what I did to myself. I've completely burnt up my left hand once, but now there's not even a scar. It's in knowing that you can do this, that's the first step, knowing that it's possible, not believing, because belief won't get you there. You can't rely on belief. You have to know. But once you know, then you've taken a very large, powerful step towards doing this yourself, whatever aspect of psychic awareness you're attempting to evolve further within yourself.
So if you've, let's say I broke a finger, and do I have to have the knowledge of how to fuse the bone back together, or do I just need to have the ability to pull up the pure energy and place it in there, and the energy itself will heal it perfectly or in the right way?
Well, the energy is already there, Connie. What you do is you redirect the energy so that it returns things back to normal. It If you try to push the energy to do something, it's about the same thing as trying to push a rope. It just doesn't work. Instead, you direct it and release it so that it does what it knows how to do best, which is to manifest, to create. And that's why I use the term remanifest, because when it's broken, you remanifest it back to where it was at. And I've done this with people with all kinds of things that were wrong with them. And, it doesn't work for everyone. The people I work on, let's say 80% is just a guess, have, some good that comes from me working with them. But there's still going to be somewhere in the 20 percentile that no one knows who it's going to be, of course. I don't know, because I never know what's going to happen. But it just doesn't work for them. And the only thing that I've been able to come up with as far as why that is because apparently it's not meant to be for them. And I don't know how to explain it in any more discreet terms.
So you heal, you do these explorations, adventures. Now that you, at one point when you decided to be you, how much better has your life been throughout?
Well, it's been nonstop rock and roll.
All right.
It's always busy. It's always busy.
Do
I've
you?
been featured on Gaia TV, I don't know, six, seven times. There are magazine articles, TV shows, all kinds of things people do about me. It's like, like I'm some kind of big deal, and I don't really see myself as that. It's just I do something very well, and so I figure, that's what the recognition's all about. And then they find out, well, maybe you're not from here. Is that the reason you can do this? Well, yeah, probably to some extent. But everyone else on this planet, their origins are not from here either, so that shouldn't be a mitigating feature. Everyone should be able to do this. You have energy running through you. Why not?
Well, how are you in the world of God? Do you believe in God? Do you is that a part of your world?
It is. But I don't know what God is. And the closest that I've been able to come to an understanding of what God is to look in the mirror and point to myself and just simply say, God lives here. And then I look at other people, I can say the same thing. I can see God in everyone. And if I look at a mountain or the sky or a bird, I know the presence of God exists there, but I've never been able to figure out what God is. And I suppose that's why it's such a big mystery, because no one ever has, really.
Well, one of the, I know that throughout all these adventures that you've had, you've met a lot of really interesting people along the way. And one of the people that you met that is somebody that I kind of sort of met off the street of New York City, kind of sort of through the buzzer of his door at his doorstep in the city, was Ingo Swann before he passed away. So I had him yelling at me, kind of leaving him alone kind of thing in the middle of New York City. So that's about the extent of how I met Ingo Swann, the father of remote viewing. But you got to meet Ingo. What was that like?
Oh, Ingo was a great guy. I'm sorry you had that experience. If I had
Me
known
too.
you then, I would have brought you downstairs and said, "Hey, this is my buddy Connie. This
I
has some
brought him,
wine."
oh yeah, I brought him some really good port wine and this wonderful cheese and grapes and all this good stuff. They said, hey, if you ever get a chance, that's what you want to do, to meet him, bring him some good wine and fruit and cheese. And I did. And yeah, well, it was right at the end there. And they said he was pretty crabby, I guess it would be a good word, grouchy kind of thing. So at least I got to hear him, he yelled at me, but I got to hear him. So
Well,
tell me a little bit about, well, you know what? We don't have too much time, but just give me one quick, I don't know, a little thought of him from you knowing him.
he was an incredible person, a fantastic artist, and remarkably talented beyond what I've seen in most people, and he knew me immediately.
Oof.
It was an amazing time, and he just loved Kathy to pieces. He thought she was amazing.
Well, good for you to have met him, and just that's pretty cool. Well, listen, before we go here, tell us, is there anything else you wanted to say before you left?
Well, yeah, we've got this. We never did touch on ayahuasca, but we do have a trip going to Peru on April 14th, and we'll have other trips, you know, after that at some point. We don't do things normally like most people do. We believe it's time to have fun and have a huge adventure. You know, we really didn't touch on why we were looking for lost cities, but it's because the ETs told me things to go look for, and that's the reason why I had such a relationship with going down into Peru and the jungles and, you know, the Andes and so forth. But one of the things that we like to do is go to the jungle and meet up with a shaman we've known for a very long time. His name is Mateo, and we offer the ayahuasca ceremony and the Huachuma ceremony, which is very powerful. If you don't know what that is, folks, then look it up. But if anyone out there listening wants to come along on this next trip, go to jerrywills.com and look for Peru trip information, or Peru trip info is the tab on the top, and take a look. We do have room still if there's anybody that wants to go. Not a whole lot of rooms. If 100 people want to go, then we have to plan other trips. But, you know, we have room for several more people if anyone's interested.
Jerry,
aside from that,
yeah,
what's that?
I was just
aside from that, I don't know what else I would throw out there, except, you know, folks, I've not told you these things because I'm trying to get you to believe something. It's just something that's happened to me, things that I know and my experiences in life, and I figured that by telling you my story that it might be interesting for you. But it isn't that I need you to believe it. I believe it, and that's enough for me.
Thank you so much for showing up tonight, Jerry. Appreciate it. All right. Thank you.
I really appreciate the invite. Thank you, Connie.
Absolutely. Jerry Wills there. And before that, it was Samantha Ellen Ritchie here on Coast to Coast AM. Thank you all for tuning in tonight. And I appreciate that if you guys enjoyed the show as much as me, please let us know, okay? We love to hear the positive stuff as well. From the 840 WHAS studios of iHeartMedia in Louisville, Kentucky, many thanks going out to Bill May, Kirk Wesley, Tim Banal, Greg Bishop, Lex Lonehood, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Dan Galante, Donna Walker, Tommy Danheiser, Sean Litasur, Nathan Staten, Lisa Lyon, George Knapp, and of course, George Norrie as well. We appreciate all of you guys for putting this together as a team and letting me be a part of that team as well. It's always a good time. I'm not sure the next time I'll be on, but I hope to have you guys join me when that happens. And until we meet again, please join me on my YouTube channel, Blue Rock Talk with Connie Willis. Earth's most interesting conversations, and we're talking people, places, and things. And, wow, what a good show, man. That was really interesting to hear about Jerry. And, you know, as much as there's a lot of stories we missed out on, we got the other ones really in depth. And I enjoy that. I like to go deeper. I'm not a 101 kind of person. I want to get deep into the subject. And I think that we did on that. And also talking about the little people beforehand. So again, keep watching the night skies and continue with me to seek out the strange and uncover the known. For Coast to Coast AM, I'm Connie Willis.